KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up, after a week of lower numbers, two counties set one-day records. I'm Brian Calvert, and the curve is definitely not flattening.
Is remote learning a foregone conclusion? I'm Corwin Hake. Some educators call for alternatives.
First, we get the latest from ABC News. Good morning. It's 6 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The July jobs report beat expectations, showing a bit of recovery for the labor market, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The U.S. economy created 1.8 million jobs in July, reflecting what the Labor Department called the country's continued resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed due to the coronavirus pandemic. The unemployment rate dropped to 10.2%. Economists have said the speed of hiring will depend on the virus. Many consumers remain hesitant to shop when the infection rate is high.
A new projection show the U.S. death toll from COVID-19 could approach 300,000 by December 1st. But a FEMA document obtained by ABC News shows positive case numbers are decreasing in 46 states and territories. The main question for millions right now across the country centers on reopening schools. More on that from ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Congress Thursday discussed the best way to move forward on reopening schools. In New York City, parents must decide by today if they plan to keep their children home. School sports also in question. Pennsylvania's governor now recommending youth sports not return until January.
66 NFL players have decided to opt out of the season. Today is also the deadline set by the White House for lawmakers to agree to a new economic stimulus. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says,
"We're not going to just keep on coming back every day if we can't get to a deal. We've said by the end of the week we wanted to reach an agreement on the major issues."
Republicans pushing a smaller agreement than Democrats. The president did sign an executive order giving the Chinese companies that own TikTok and WeChat 45 days to sell them to American companies, citing privacy concerns.
The Trump administration says that these Chinese-owned platforms are a national security threat, and that when millions of Americans download them, they're putting their privacy and their data directly in the hands of the Chinese government. Now, of course, TikTok has pushed back against those claims.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
6:02 right now, Friday morning, with a few clouds around western Washington right now. 60 degrees, the current temperature.
Along with Greg Hirschholt, I'm Amanda Factor. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center.
There is speculation being fueled this morning that some counties in Washington may have to return to phase one based on new record-setting numbers of confirmed COVID cases.
We get to the latest from KOMO's Brian Calvert.
Earlier this week, it was looking like we were heading towards flattening the curve. Then yesterday happened, and one-day records were set in Pierce County, where they had 123 new COVID infections, and in Thurston County, where they had 35. In all, 833 new COVID positives were reported statewide yesterday, and 29 people died from the coronavirus. You can bet this is going to fan the flames of talks in some areas to return to phase one in order to get these numbers much lower. As county leaders talk this through, the Seattle King County Health Department has been going full speed ahead with its new educational enforcement force of inspectors, known as S-STAR. These investigators are focused on making sure local bars and restaurants are complying with all COVID-era mandates. As of yesterday, 423 such inspections have been conducted since early last month. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
Today, there will be a new coronavirus testing site set up at Rainier Beach High School. The Seattle King County Public Health Department says that the site can accommodate 800 tests a day. Right now, the city of Seattle is averaging 2,000 tests a day.
100,000 pieces of personal protective equipment will be distributed by today to the state's Emergency Operations Center and Department of Enterprise Services. Equipment includes respirators, gloves, gowns, surgical masks, and more. They'll be used to help hospitals, first responders, and others working on the front lines to stay safe during the pandemic.
The University of Washington now says more than 90% of its fall classes will be online. In a letter to fall enrollees, UW President Anna Marie Kause and the Provost Mark Richards say only UW Medicine and Graduate Life Sciences programs will convene in person. The two say that the continued spread of COVID-19 limits the university's ability to safely provide in-person teaching.
Local school districts planning to open remotely this fall are getting some pushback from school board members who believe alternatives are available. More from Como's Corwin Hake.
Many public schools in Western Washington are resigned to online learning when the school year begins. In Seattle, Superintendent Denise Juneau this week told parents,
I have recommended to the school board that our district start the year remotely.
Some members of that board are reacting negatively, telling the Seattle Times, Juneau is ignoring in-person alternatives, including safer outdoor classes on school grounds and in parks. In the South Kitsap District, school board member Jeff Daly also objects to a planned remote opening, especially for vulnerable students.
I would like to see that our special education students are in 4 days a week, our youngest learners that are most vulnerable in 4 days a week. We have teachers who are willing to come in.
Districts must submit their final reopening plans to the state 2 weeks before the school year begins. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Time now to see what the drive looks like as you get started on this Friday morning. And here's a Como traffic update from Kiara Jordan.
Well, you're finding a slow drive right now in Seattle, northbound I-5, as you travel between Michigan and the West Seattle Bridge. We may have briefly had a blocking problem in that area, but I'm not seeing anything on the cameras right now. We have road work that's slowing you down, traveling westbound 512, slowing you down for a bit under a mile right now as you're approaching Portland Avenue. Checking on a couple of our current travel times. Tacoma to Seattle's at 32 minutes. Everett to Seattle, 23 minutes. Renton to Bellevue with a 14-minute drive. Our next Como traffic at 614.
And the weather. Here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
We are eyeing up another cold front to quickly move into northwest Washington tonight. That should give Forks, Bellingham, and as far south as Port Ludlow a chance of light showers later on this afternoon into this evening. Now, for the most part, this rain should stay north of Seattle today, but cannot rule out a sprinkle for your backyard on Saturday. Sunday will be the drier day out of the weekend with a brief warm-up back into the 80s Monday of next week. Have a great week. And everybody in the Como Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Cloudy in Bellingham this morning where it's 59. In Olympia, it's only 49 this morning. Here in downtown Seattle, partly cloudy and 57.
Como News Time 6:06. King County Metro is working on two possible scenarios to help residents get in and out of West Seattle while the high-level bridge is out of commission. It's been closed since March, and the agency's first plan assumes the lower-level Spokane Bridge will remain open. If recent issues with that lower-level bridge force it to close, Metro warns that its second option will be much more disruptive. It will involve rerouting all downtown-bound buses to West Marginal Way and onto the First Avenue South Bridge, which are already congested enough as it is.
In a matter of just 3 days, there have been six violent, random attacks on the streets of Seattle. Como's Cole Miller says some people suffered serious injuries, including facial fractures.
Reading through the details of these charging documents and police reports, all of these assaults are shocking and seemingly unprovoked. We're not far at all from the Ballard Market, where one man was injured to the point where the man accused of attacking him thought he had killed him. Now, that happened in the early morning hours of August 1st near Northwest 56th Street and 14th Avenue Northwest. Now, according to court documents, a man was walking to his job at the nearby QFC when another man by the name of Solomon Prince began punching him, later telling detectives that he had been called a racial slur. Prince is said to have attacked that man to the point where he was knocked out and that the victim did not remember what had happened, bleeding from his mouth, nose, and ears.
One of the people arrested has been charged with two hate crimes.
Two brothers have been sentenced to 40 years in prison for a deadly shooting that happened 4.5 years ago at the homeless encampment known as the Jungle. Testimony showed that James and Jerome Tafulisia stormed the encampment to rob a drug dealer, ended up killing two people and critically wounding three others.
The Seattle City Council's proposal to cut the police navigation team is raising concerns among business groups. The 10 officers and outreach employees work with homeless people to get them off the streets before clearing out homeless camps. We get more on this from Como's Suzanne Fawn.
Businesses say the navigation team has helped keep their neighborhoods safe and clean.
I'm very concerned that without that team, with all the elements, not just the police officers, but the folks from the SPU and the Parks Department and HSD, without that group ready to work, that the situation on our streets with garbage and human waste is going to get really bad.
Drastic short-term actions. That's what we heard from the Alliance for Pioneer Square. They're concerned about what's going to happen with unsanctioned encampments if the navigation team is axed. They say, quote, no sweeps is not a win for getting people people the help they need while simultaneously creating a safe environment for everyone is a win. Suzanne Fawn, Como News.
One of the Seattle City Council's proposals to defund the police department would mean deep cuts to the salaries of the police chief and 12 other members of her command staff. So Como's Steve McCarron asked the chief what she thought of that.
Is that something that you plan to fight in some capacity, and what do you think the impact of that will be?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's legal to do, so obviously we'll be looking at that.
Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best reacting to a proposal passed by the city council that would drastically reduce the pay of 13 police executives, including her, for the rest of the year starting September 2nd. City's website shows Best currently makes more than $293,000 per year, thousands more than her counterparts in the similar-sized cities of Denver and Washington, D.C.
And why on earth, for the people who've worked so very hard, will we ever consider not having the best of the best and compensate them fairly? I find that absolutely shocking.
Councilmember Shama Sawant called the council committee's vote a victory.
Lifeguards are returning to four Seattle beaches. Magnuson, Madison, Pritchard, and West Green Lake beaches will be staffed with lifeguards. That move was delayed because of COVID concerns and budget cuts.
Como News Time 610. Now Tom Hutler with our sports update.
The Colorado Rockies are off to a great start in this shortened Major League season. They're 9-3, sitting atop the National League West Division. Probably not what the Mariners wanted to see coming in after losing 2 of 3 to the Angels in 5 of the last 6. 6-1 the setback yesterday. Game 1 against the Rockies tonight, 6:40 at T-Mobile Park. Training camp continues for the Seahawks. They go through strength and conditioning drills. Wide receiver DK Metcalf entering his second season after a breakout rookie year. He's got more than football on his mind. He revealed in a Zoom press conference yesterday with local media he's had a couple family members contract COVID-19.
A couple of my cousins contract the virus. It's real out there. I'm not going to let it, I would say, affect me or anything. But, you know, I'm taking precautions just like my family has it, and, you know, I got my teammates in the back of my mind, any family members, friends that I come in contact with.
Meanwhile, a total of 66 players have opted out of the 2020 NFL season due to the coronavirus pandemic. Nearly half of them are linemen. Players with a medical opt-out get a $350,000 stipend. Those who voluntarily opt out get $150,000 as an advance against future salaries. The Patriots had the most opt-outs with 8. And the Seattle Storm edged Atlanta 93-92 in the WNBA yesterday, playing Phoenix tomorrow at noon. Nationally televised game on Como TV4. Sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Hutler, Como News.
Como News Time 6:12. The coronavirus pandemic is creating some real challenges for candidates running for public office. And Como's Keith Eldridge says it's apparent in the race for governor.
Republican governor candidate Lauren Culp at one of his many rallies. Few masks, little social distancing. For the police chief from the small town of Republic and his supporters, it's a matter of freedom.
It's very important for us all to be safe, right? And if you're in a nursing home or by a hospital or a clinic, definitely, you know, be safe. Wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. But I don't think that it should be something that's mandated by the government.
Handling the COVID crisis is one of the biggest issues separating the two. The governor shutting down the economy and reopening in phases, and continued concern for the rate of transmission.
Our health experts are appropriately concerned about this. So am I. And I think anyone would be who has seen what happened in other states as this virus has exploded.
Another big separation, how they're campaigning during the pandemic. The governor not holding rallies, but appearing sometimes twice a week at these COVID briefings, while Culp is holding rallies in defiance of the governor's safety measures.
There is a constituency of true believers in what his message is. There's no doubt about that, okay? My only argument is it ain't going to get you anywhere near 50%.
Inslee came up with 52% of the vote in the primary, Culp 17% in a crowded race. But if you combine the other Republican votes, he said he would have 43%. The unknown now is how the pandemic plays out the next 3 months. Will it hurt or help the incumbent governor with how he handles it?
And to predict what the pandemic's going to do and how it's going to play out in November, it just depends where the pandemic is at, where it decides to be.
Keith Eldridge, Como News.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine will have another COVID-19 test this weekend after getting mixed results this week. The governor says he was held out of a meeting with President Trump yesterday after testing positive.
But I feel fine, have a headache, but I get a lot of headaches throughout my life, so a headache is not anything that unusual. So besides that, I feel well.
A second test hours later came back negative. DeWine says he was stunned by the positive test after practicing mask use and social distancing.
Como News Time 6:14. Traffic and weather for you every 10 minutes on the fours. And here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, I'm getting word that our road work that was taking place on westbound 512 approaching Portland Avenue is now wrapped up. It ran about 15 minutes over time. Still seeing a little bit of crowding around Canyon, but hopefully that'll start to thin out soon here. I do see a little bit of hesitation, though, on westbound 512 right as you're approaching I-5. Now, not too much slowing you down north on I-5 through Tacoma City Center and a fairly easy drive through Federal Way as well, but we will see some slowdowns in Seattle between the Michigan Curve and the West Seattle Bridge. Minor slowing southbound I-5 right as you're approaching that 405 split in Linwood. It won't be lasting for too long. Northbound 167, that actually appears to be clearing out on our drive through the Sumner area into Pacific, but there is still some hesitation right as you're approaching 405. Oh, and ferry riders, all reservations are full for sailings today out of both Coopville and Port Townsend. There is limited standby space, so get there early. And reservation holders, you're advised to arrive 45 minutes before your reserved time. Our next Como traffic at 6:24.
A partly sunny day for your Friday. May see a few light sprinkles to the north. 75 the expected high. Few showers a possibility overnight, and then tomorrow we'll wake up to clouds, but then mostly sunny and 72. 75 on Sunday and Monday. The sunshine continues. A little bit warmer. Should hit 80 on Monday.
57 degrees and cloudy skies right now at SeaTac Airport.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
6:16, it's the Como Morning News. More important, it's Friday. Frank Lindsay is at the editor's desk, and with Greg Herschel, I'm Amanda Factor.
Talks over a new coronavirus stimulus package resumed this morning, with Democratic leaders and the White House negotiators trying to find a compromise. They're reportedly still far apart after yesterday's session. One of the biggest challenges, we're told, is whether to continue the $600 a week unemployment benefit that expired last week.
New York schools could learn today whether students will return to classrooms this fall. Governor Andrew Cuomo promised to announce a decision by the end of this week of August. Cuomo noted that the plan to reopen will need the support of teachers and parents.
Los Angeles is threatening to shut off city utilities, including water, at party houses starting tonight. The county health department banned large gatherings earlier in the week in the wake of a huge house party. The gathering made national news because guests were not wearing masks.
Yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden delivered an address pleading with the Latino community to support him in November.
We need every single voter to sign up and get engaged in our campaign. We need you to get out and vote with your family and your friends to make sure that people know how to register and how to vote safely during the pandemic.
During his trip to Ohio, President Trump said, however, that if Biden is elected, it will lead to what he calls an economic depression time.
You will have a crash in the markets because he's going to double and triple your taxes. He's going to do things that nobody ever would ever think even possible because he's following the radical left agenda.
ABC's Inez De La Cotera is on our Como News line. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg and Amanda.
What more did the president have to say about this yesterday?
Yeah, so President Trump in Ohio yesterday, he was there to promote economic recovery after the pandemic. And during the event, he accused the Obama-Biden administration of selling out American workers. This is in line with something we heard from the president earlier this week about the need to hire American. And he was really blasting the Obama-Biden administration there for giving American jobs away to foreign workers, according to President Trump. He also said that a Biden administration would lead to an economic depression time, and that President Biden would abolish basically the American dream. So with just 90 days to go until Election Day there, we're really starting to see things heat up on the campaign trail.
The president also seemed to call into question Joe Biden's religious faith.
Yeah, that was certainly a surprising moment. President Trump going after Biden on a religion, saying that Biden hates God, that he is against God. And that was certainly, shocking for many. And that Biden is, of course, a devout Catholic who has repeatedly talked about his faith, both on the campaign trail, but also in talking about how his faith has helped him cope with the death of some of his family members, his first wife, his daughter, his his son. So certainly that moment, very surprising coming from President Trump.
What were the president's comments about the coronavirus?
The coronavirus was another interesting moment there, the president talking about the coronavirus. So he is pledging to stamp out the virus, and he continues to insist that it will go away. That's something he's been saying for months from the beginning of the pandemic, that it would just go away. He also talked about a possible COVID-19 vaccine, and he repeated comments that a vaccine would be available long before the end of the year. He was asked, if that was, as he was leaving to Ohio, he was asked if the push to get a vaccine out by the election was, because that's the timeline he's looking at. He was talking about maybe a November 3rd vaccine. He was asked if the push to get a vaccine was maybe politically motivated, and the president said that it wasn't, that certainly it wouldn't help to have a vaccine out by the election, but that his motivation wasn't the election, that it was really saving American lives. We should note that American lives, excuse me, but we should note that health experts, many health experts have said that they don't expect a vaccine to be available until the end of the year, December at the earliest.
Okay, Inez, thanks for getting us up to date on all of that. ABC News correspondent Inez De La Cotera with us from Washington, D.C.
Como News Time 6:20. It's time to get to our Propel Insurance Money Update. The president is restarting a trade fight with Canada, this time reinstating a 10% import tax on Canadian aluminum.
The president's latest Canadian tariff comes just weeks after the U.S.-Mexican-Canadian trade deal took effect. The president added a Canadian aluminum tax 2 years ago and then dropped it to help pass the USMCA. President Trump says Canada broke its promise not to flood the U.S. market with aluminum, Canada saying it will retaliate, and that a pandemic is not the time for another trade war.
That's ABC's Andy Field.
The U.S. added 1.8 million jobs last month, according to the Labor Department. The unemployment rate for July fell nearly a full point, but it's still at 10.2%. And the jobs total is a little higher than analysts had forecast, but it's well below the 4.8 million jobs that were added the month before. Even with three straight months of seven-figure job creation, the nation has 12.9 million fewer jobs right now than before the coronavirus pandemic hit.
Trading begins on Wall Street in 9 minutes, and futures are a bit lower. Dow down 89 right now. S&P down 14. The NASDAQ futures down 45.
6:21 right now, Friday morning. We'll check traffic and weather next on the Como Morning News.
Como News Radio Podcasts. From news to politics, health to fitness. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and visit comonews.com/podcast for the full podcast lineup. Stay connected. Stay informed. Como News.